Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 145. 145. Sing hymn number 361. 361.
Acts chapter 8. We dealt with some of this last week. And I'll start reading down here in verse 26. Down to verse 35. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understand what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, our blessed Father, gracious God, merciful God, God of great mercy, God of judgment, Lord, we bless you that you made a way, provided a way for sinners like ourselves to have life and be justified from all our sin. Be justified before a holy God, to be cleared of all guilt, to have no sin, to have no condemnation. Oh, Lord, how we bless you for that, that you taught us that. We believe that. We find that to be our hope and that to be our comfort. And, Lord, we've gathered tonight to worship, to read your word, to study your word, and learn some things from it. So, Lord, you take us in hand and you teach us. May the Holy Spirit come and be our teacher tonight. May He be the one that blesses the Word to our heart and our understanding. And Lord, we thank You for those who's come out and pray Your blessings upon them. And our Lord Jesus, we pray for those whose bodies are still frail. Bodies are getting weaker, and we pray for them, Lord, that we know Your grace is sufficient. You told us that, and we believe it, and we've seen it and experienced it, and every one of us have experienced that Your grace is sufficient. So meet with us tonight, bring glory to Yourself, and do these things for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
Page 30 in our course books, Living by Faith, on page 30 in the course books.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding, it is great love.
Yes, it is great love.
Safe from all
harm,
it is sheltering all. I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks calm at the strife. Living by faith, trusting, confiding in His great love. Safe from all harm, it is sheltering all. I'm living by faith, that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith, our troubles will then all be o'er.
you know, last week I preached on persecution. Preaching, persecution, and profession. Tonight I'm going to preach on a preacher, a sinner, and salvation. And the preacher, of course, is Philip. You know, God doesn't do things the way that the world does or anybody else does. And that's what we love, that God's ways are not our ways. I'm so thankful they're not. They're so far above us that as the heavens is above the earth, so far as His thoughts and ways above us. And the way He deals with men, you know, He deals with men. Some He deals in grace. Some He deals with in grace. Others He deals with in judgment. It's like Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, I raised you up just for one purpose. You exist for one purpose, for me to show you how much power I've got. How much power I've got. And the Scripture tells us plainly that He makes some vessels of honor, some to dishonor, some vessels of mercy, some vessels of wrath. And it's the same God that does both of them. And what God does in this chapter, we've seen last week that He opens the door to the Samaritans to go down there, and they were half-breeds. This is where false doctrine, really, they started worshiping false gods there and first false people there and false. And so God opened the door to the Samaritans. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, He went to Samaria and sat on a well, walked 7 or 8 miles out of His way to go sit on a well to save a woman of Samaria. And so here God opened the door for all the Samaritans. But He also exposed the false profession of Simon the sorcerer. And now you know this passage that I've read tonight about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip and the preaching that Philip did. It's no doubt a familiar passage to you. But what we have here is the Lord Jesus Christ going after one of His sheep. Just one. But do you know how many times He went after just one? Just one. Zacchaeus was one. That man born blind was one. The woman at the well was one. Christ will go after one. He said, one sheep. If you lose, got 99, got one lost, you got to go get it. If you lose one coin, you sweep the house till you find it. One prodigal. God deals with people as one. And that's a wonderful thing for me to think. That, you know, that's what God did for me. He come to what? To me. Me alone. Me alone. And so, first of all, let's look at the preacher. The preacher. Look what it says down verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. He said, arise and go down toward the south unto the way that goeth down to, from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, he was led of the Lord to go down into the desert. You know, he had been in Samaria for quite some time. He was the first one to go down there and start preaching. And the Lord was using him. Look back up here in verse 5 of chapter 8. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Oh, they liked what he had to say. And then down in verse 12, look what it says. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So there's a great revival going on here in Samaria. Even Peter and John came down. And they had to see what was going on. And yet, here's this great revival going on, and God tells this man that started it and was used of God to start it, you go down to the desert. Go out into the desert. What? You, Lord, go down into the desert? We got a revival going on up here. People are being converted. People are being baptized. And go down to the desert? What in the world was going on down in the desert? Nothing goes on in the desert but dry heat. Well, what could possibly be in the desert? But Philip didn't question him. He didn't say anything. He said, Lord, is there anybody else you can send? I'd like to stay up here where this revival's going on. But oh no, Philip didn't question. What did he do? He headed to Jerusalem. He headed down into the desert. From Jerusalem it goes down into Gaza. And he didn't know why. He had no clue why God was sending him down there. He had no idea why would God send him to the desert. But he knew that the Lord was sending him. And here's the thing, key thing was that he knew the Lord himself. He knew the Lord himself. And whatever the Lord says, that's what he's going to do. And he knew the Lord. And he arose, and the scripture says in verse 27, he arose and went. He didn't say, Lord, I'm going to wait. Well, I need a good night's sleep, and then I'll get up early in the morning and go. No, he just got up and went. He arose and went. And he went. And oh, listen to what happened. And behold, he didn't know this was going to happen. I don't know how long he's in the desert. I don't know how many hours he's there, a day or two or what. I don't know. But he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. And this tells us that the worth of a soul, the worth of one soul to our covenant God, the worth of one soul to our Lord Jesus Christ, the worth of one soul that Christ purchased with His own blood. Oh my. Here's God. He deals with individuals like I told you. He dealt with Enoch by himself. He dealt with Noah. He dealt with Abraham. He dealt with the woman at the well. He dealt with Saul of Tarsus. That one man born blind, Zacchaeus up a tree. God goes to great lengths to get one soul for whom Christ died, that God made in a covenant with, in the covenant of grace, that Christ Jesus would die for them, and God went to great lengths. He sent a preacher. And that's what God always does. He'll cross people's path with a preacher. With a preacher. And then, oh, so we see the preacher. Now look at the sinner. Let's look at this sinner. And here rose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia is not like that little bitty country you know it's in Africa now. Ethiopia at that time was almost encompassed almost all of North Africa. And then this man traveled 1,200 miles, so that gives you a big idea of how big Ethiopia was at that time. Huge, covered most of Africa. And oh, he said, and he was who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to worship at Jerusalem for to worship. So here the sinner's a powerful man. He's a powerful man. A wealthy man. It says here had great authority. Had great authority. I mean, this guy's somebody. He's a treasurer. He took care of all the money in all of Ethiopia. He was in charge of the treasury. He had access to multitudes, unbelievable amounts of money. So here's a powerful man of Candace, the queen. She is a queen and she's ruled over there. And this Candace is the same thing as a title like Pharaoh was. I don't know what her name was, but it's like a title. Candace is the same thing as Pharaoh. And so here she was, and here she was, she's this queen, and here he comes down to Jerusalem. And I tell you, God takes a powerful man and great men, and don't do it very often, but oh, he's humbled some great men, some great, great men. Naaman. He's a great, great general from Syria. God humbled him. Hezekiah, the king, who went in and told everybody, showed him how great wealth he was. And he was a man after David's own heart. God had to humble him. And Saul, a man who despised Christ, despised the gospel, and despised the Lord's people. God humbled him. God takes great men and humbles them. And here's a great man, he humbled him. And look what it said. It said in verse 27, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. You remember when our Lord was talking to the woman at the well? She said, sir, we know that Jerusalem where men ought to worship. But our fathers worship in this mountain. She said, I know that you know this, where people are supposed to go up to Jerusalem. And this man came 1,200 miles. I mean, he's in a... When we talk about a chariot, we're not talking about these chariots that you see in these movies, you know, with one fellow standing up there whipping one horse. This is like a... It's like a... Almost like a stagecoach. I mean, you know, it had lots of room in it. It had all his belongings in it. Had all lots of money in it. So it had a lot of room in it. Had clothes in it. And it had so much room in it that he told Philip, come up here. Sit with me. So this is not like a little old chariot you see in the movies. It's not that way at all. And he went down to Jerusalem to worship. What do you reckon he found when he went there? He went to great lengths, went to great expense, went to great time. I mean time, and went a long way. What did he find when he got there? You know what he found when he got there? He found an empty shell of religion. He went there empty, and he came left there empty. I mean, religion. Jerusalem's where men ought to worship, it said. But then all they found there was religion. He found people twice dead. Twice dead. They were dead in trespasses and sins, and they were dead in their religion. Had a dead religion. And I tell you, you had the super religious. Who were those? They were the Pharisees. The Pharisees. Hold Acts 8 here and go with me to Matthew 23. I want you to see something over here. These fellas, these super religious, Paul was one of these. He was super, super religious. Oh, they're straining the gnat and swallow a camel. There's more concern for the jots and the tittles than they were for the mercy and grace of God. Super religious. And oh, how many people are super religious. Got religion coming out their ears. And look what he said here in verse 5. Talking about the Pharisees. For all their works they do for to be seen of men. I want people to see me. I want people to see how religious I am. I want people to understand how deep and how devoted I am. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the borders of their garments. Oh my, and then he goes on to say, look what he said down in verse 13. Our Lord said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You won't go in yourselves. You won't go in yourselves. And you won't allow them that are in to go in. You want to stop them. You want to bring them to the law. You want to bring them to works. You want to bring them to trusting in themselves. And then look what our Lord said down verse 23 about them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. But oh my, listen to this, what he said about them. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and swallow a camel. And people say, listen, that camel means, you know, it's just a little thing. No. He's literally talking about what's literal. Nobody likes gnats. Gnats get around you and you do like this to get rid of them. And a little old gnat, he said, you all strain. Choke over a gnat. Choke over a gnat. And yet you'll turn around and swallow a camel to let everybody know how religious you are. You know, and that's what they were. They're super religious. And then he also, when he got down there, he found the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the political party of the day. They didn't believe in a resurrection. And they, at this time, they were the one that was the high priest came out of the Sadducees. Now, here's their problem was they had religion and politics. And that's a deadly combination. That's a deadly combination. Religion and politics. Oh, and they called it so-called worship. And that's one thing. And listen, I'd rather be known for my relationship with Christ than my relationship with any party in this United States of America. I'd rather be known to be a Christian than to be identified with any political party whatsoever. But here's the thing about it, that's the way they was. You had the super religious and you had the political. And they all was religious. And he went down there and that's what he found. That's what he found. He went to the temple, what did he find? But the Pharisees and Sadducees. And when he went, got there, there's all going on and on about the law and the works and all that stuff. And he got there, and he went, when he got there, he was empty. He went up there to find something, find some religion, find some comfort, find some assurance. He went up there to worship God. To worship God Almighty. And what did he find when he got up there? When he got up there, he was empty. He went in there empty, and he left empty. He went up there to have a relationship with God. He didn't have one. He started back home. Started back home. And oh my, that's why our Lord, you know what our Lord said on this day? That day, that, you know, when they went up there for these feasts and all that. Our Lord said, stood in that great day, that last day of the feast. And everybody there was worshiping as all around and all the washings and all the waters. Our Lord stood and cried, if any man's thirsty, you come up here to have some comfort, some relief. If any man's thirsty, let him come unto me. Come unto me and drink. Not the Pharisees, not the temple, not politics, not religion. Come unto me. If you're thirsty, and I tell you, if a fellow's thirsty, you know what he's going to do? He's going to drink. If he's hungry, you know what he's going to do? He's going to eat. That's just that's the way it is. And so he goes up, and this fellow in verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. And oh, he's sitting and reading. He's reading from Isaiah. And the two verses he's reading from, back over here in Acts, they read aloud. He's riding along, he's reading out loud. He's reading out loud. And the scriptures were in scrolls. They're not a book like we've got now. They were in scrolls, and they'd unscroll them. They'd unscroll them, you know, this way and read it, and then scroll this way and go that way and read it. This is in scrolls. And they'd open it up and he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53 verses 7 and 8. He read aloud the scrolls and he didn't find God in Jerusalem. But I tell you something he did find, something he delighted in, and God blessed it. He found the book of God. He found the scriptures. He found the scrolls. And oh my, you know how precious the Word of God was in those days? It says that over in 1 Kings, said, oh, the Word of the Lord was precious in those days. Do you know how hard it was to come by a scroll in those days? This man was extremely wealthy to be able to hold a whole scroll of the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah has got 66 chapters in it. And here he had this whole book, this whole scroll, very expensive. Very, very expensive. And oh my. And he's sitting in his chariot. And Philip was walking along and he saw him. And the Lord said, you go and walk up to him. Walk up to him. I want you to go and speak to this man. So the Spirit said, go and join yourself near to this chariot, to this chariot. Get up next to this chariot. Get up close to this man and to where he's going. And look what it says. So evidently there was a distance between them because it says Philip ran there. He ran. So there's some distance between them. And I tell you what, he ran. He said, listen, I've got to do what the Lord said. And so he ran to catch this chariot. He ran to catch this man. And as he did, he heard him. That's what I meant to tell you what. He was reading aloud. He heard him. He heard him read. He heard him reading. He got right up beside him and walking along beside him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, and he's still on the ground now. He's caught up with him. He's following him, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand it? That's a good question for anybody. Do you understand what you're reading? You know, I want to say something right here, and then of course I may preach on the word Sunday, but anyway, preachers get all over folks for not reading their Bible. But now, listen, a lot of folks, that's what God calls preachers for. Now, people ought to read the Scriptures. I believe you ought to read the Scriptures. And don't be in just one of these fellows that I've got to read the Bible through every year. Don't do that. Don't bind yourself like that. Then you're just reading and you're not getting anything out of it. But if you can just read a few verses and get just a little bit out of a few verses, that's a great blessing. But I'm not one of them preachers that just gets on charge people for not reading the Bible. That's what God calls preachers to give people. That's what Philip said. Here's a man reading the Bible. He's reading the Word of God. Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? The disciples spent 3 years with the Lord, and they had no clue that He was going to rise again from the dead. They went off and hid because they didn't understand what the Lord was doing. And they'd been with Him 3 years. So you know, and that's what I mean. But here's the thing. He said, you understand what you're reading? Huh? Oh, look at the preacher and his message. And he said, and this is, oh, you talk about why. Very few people would admit to this. Very few people admit to this. And he said, how can I? How can I understand what I'm reading? How can I possibly understand what I'm reading? Unless some man should take these Scriptures and guide me. Be a guide to me. Guide me in this Word. Guide me in these Scriptures. How can I? Except some man should guide me. And he said, Philip, come up here and sit with me. Then he said, come up here and sit with me. So he did. He stopped and he got up there in that chair. And this is the place we read. And this is the question he asked. The place of the Scripture he read, which was this. He. So it's talking about a man. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb, like a lamb before his shears, done before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? And his life was taken from the earth. And so this Ethiopian, he asked him a question. And the Ethiopian answered Philip and said, I pray thee, I want you to tell me, who is this prophet talking about? Who is this prophet speaking about? Is he talking about himself? Is Isaiah speaking about himself? Or is he talking about some other man? He said he knows it's a man. He knows if it's Isaiah, I'd like to know who it is. If it's some other man, I want to know who that other man is. And oh, listen, let me tell you something about what Jews believe about Isaiah 53. They believe it's about Jeremiah, or else themselves as a nation, and how God's going to do something for them as a nation. But all he said is this about some other man. He knew it was about a man. He is what he said. His judgment would take. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And then look what he said. Then Philip opened his mouth. And he started right there where he was reading from, and he began to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. says, you know who this man's talking about? This man that I'm talking to, he's talking about, is a man named Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. You know that? And he went over to Isaiah, in other words, out in Isaiah 7:14. And then he went down through those verses and he preached how that the Lord Jesus Christ was a root out of dry ground. There's nothing beautiful about him that we should desire him. But he said, I'll tell you something about him. He said he made his soul an offering for sin. He was wounded for somebody else's transgressions. He was bruised for somebody else's iniquities. And I tell you what, this is the message. This is the theme of true preaching, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what fulfills the Scriptures, is the Lord Jesus. Oh, listen, preaching is the relation between Scripture and Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, even after His disciples, when He appeared to them, and He ate with them, you know what He did? He started at Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms, giving them understanding about these things speak of me. And He opened the Scriptures to their understanding. And these are fellows been with Him 3 years. He had to open the Scriptures to their understanding. They didn't understand it. And that's what this fellow is doing. Well, what do we have? I'm going to understand this. He preached unto him Jesus Christ. Oh my. The preaching, real preaching, is the Word of God preaching the Lamb of God. The written Word as it relates to the living Word. The record that God gave us and the person of the record that God gave us. And oh my, there's no doubt what I tell you what, He preached the Lord Jesus Christ. He told about our Lord's substitutionary death, about His birth, about His holy, sinful life, sinless life. He told him, you know, he was led as a lamb before His shearer. He didn't open His mouth. A lamb to the slaughter. Never said a word. Oh my. And then he preached about how he was rejected of men. Despised of men. Crucified by men. Then he talked about his death on the cross and his resurrection. He talked about what his death accomplished for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? Oh my. Sin. Judgment. Death, all conquered by this man. That's what he preached to him. He said, sin, he put it away. Death, he said, oh grave, where's your victory? Oh death, where's your sting? Oh my. Judgment, he bore it all. And oh my, all accomplished by this man. And I don't know how long he preached. But I'd say he preached a good little while. I'd say that he started with Christ. He said, you see this world that we're in? He said, He's the one that created it. He was before it. And there's nothing that exists in this world apart from Him. And it's upheld by Him. Oh, He honored God. He honored Christ. He made Christ known to this man. He made Christ known to this man. That God, he said, how can I trust him? He guided him. Where'd he guide him to? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? John the Baptist himself said, he said, he must increase, I've got to decrease. Huh? And then look at this man's confession of faith now. Oh, just look at his salvation. Look at his And you know, faith cometh by hearing. And that's exactly how his faith came to him, by hearing. Faith came to him by hearing. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ, and he believed on Him. This is what God did for this one lost sheep. Sent this preacher from where a revival is going on to preach to just one person. And then look what he said. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, they're keeping on going. They came to some water. Came to some water. So they went somewhere and there's water out there. And the eunuch said, here's some water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Is there anything against me that can keep me from being baptized? Is there anything that can keep me? Is there anything that would hinder me? Anything that would stop me from being baptized, confess my faith in Christ? You know what Philip said to him? And this is what the first book of John is all about. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And this is what this man, this is his confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a mouthful. That God had a Son. And that Son had to come into this world. That Son had to come into this world. How did He come into this world? Why did He come into this world? Who did He come for? And that's what he said. That's what John said. He said, if any man believe not that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he don't know God. He don't know God. So when he's saying this, and that this Son that I'm confessing, he is as good, he is God Himself because He's God's Son. Oh my. And oh, if you believe, and I believe that, and that's his confession. He didn't talk him into this. He didn't get down beside him, whisper in his ear, and said, "Now, you ready to get saved? You want to preach after me? I'd like to get you saved tonight." Here, he didn't do none of that. "I'd like to get you saved this afternoon." He said, "If you believe with all your heart," and he said, "I believe. This is what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Oh my! And I tell you what. Philip said, "Okay." And he commanded the chariot to stop. "Stop this thing. Stand still." Oh my. Oh, I'll tell you what. Here's water. What hinders a fella? What hinders a man? What hinders a woman? And then look what it says. And I want you to notice this. And they went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And Philip, it says, he baptized him. Now, I'm going to tell you something that didn't happen. He didn't get him in that water and take some water and throw it up over his head. He didn't say some water sprinkled. It says they both went down into the water. This idea, you know, of sprinkling somebody. If you get saved in spots, sprinkle. If you get saved in streaks, pour them. But if you get saved all over, bury them. Ain't that right? But oh, they went down into the water. Baptism. And then he said, here's the water. What hinders me? Do you believe? I do. And his confession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he went down in that baptismal pool. And he said, "I confess that I'm going to go into this water and I'm going to be buried in this water and I'm going to rise again and I'm going to live in newness of life to the glory of God the Father." God done something for this man. Baptism of his confession of his relationship to Christ. Then look what happens now. Look in verse 39. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, said, "Philip, I want you to go somewhere else." And that eunuch never saw him again. Now, where Philip went, but if you'll tell us here in a minute. And look what this Ethiopian eunuch happened, what happened to him. And he went on his way rejoicing. He has something to rejoice about. They're like, we got something. Rejoice in the Lord, I say again. Rejoice in the Lord. He went down there rejoicing. Oh. And they never saw one another again. That's what God will do to get one of His children. Just one. He went down there and done all that and went through all that to reach one man. And God saved that one man. And he went on his way rejoicing. He heard that joyful sound. Darrell said the other day, he said, "We heard the joyful sound." He heard the gospel of his salvation. Have you heard yours? And then look what it says about Philip. Philip was found at Azotus. I have no idea where that's at. I'd have to look on a map. But he continued on being led of the Lord, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he got back to Caesarea. This great man, this powerful man, didn't come to Christ as a treasurer. He didn't come to Christ as an Ethiopian. He didn't come to Christ as a wealthy man. You know how he come to Christ? A sinner. Huh? A sinner. He admitted his ignorance. He admitted his need. And he believed and was baptized. Huh? That's what everybody's going to have to do. God went to great lengths to get us. And I'm certainly, certainly thankful. Our Father. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you for allowing us to meet here this evening. Thank you for your gospel again. Oh, what a gospel we have. A gospel of a Savior. A gospel that truly saves sinners. A gospel that goes and talks about God going getting His sheep, bringing them back to the fold, bringing them to that place where they are nothing but a sinner. And, oh Lord, we pray that this gospel was a blessing tonight and be a blessing to all who heard and all who are watching. We ask that you would bless this congregation, bless the ones that are not with us through frailty of body. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. Good night, God bless you. See you Sunday, Lord willing.